G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
What I'm sharing about this morning is called Seeds of Greatness. Amen? All of us, every person here, has seeds of greatness within them. How amazing is that? They are seeds that God Himself has placed in us. They've been placed in us along with other spiritual seeds like joy and peace, health, victory. All those things come to us when we get born again. And I believe seeds of greatness also are deposited in our hearts at the same time. The problem is that most Christians don't develop these seeds. They often lay dormant. The seeds I'm actually talking about are potential. I believe God has sown seeds of potential, seeds of greatness in each and every one of us. But you know what? The world is never going to know what they are if we don't develop them. We need to develop those seeds. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Thank you. We have to start to believe God that we can do whatever He says we can do and that nothing is impossible with Him. You know, unless we step out and work with God and let God work in us to develop those seeds, they're just going to continue to lay dormant. Amen? We have to allow God to work with us and in us to develop those seeds. And it's such a shame. I see so many people with so many seeds of greatness, so much potential, and nothing's changing in their life. They're dormant. You know what? It doesn't matter if no one else in the whole world believes in you, because God believes in you. And if you get a revelation of that, that's what you need, that God believes in you, even if nobody else does. It doesn't matter. If God believes in you, then you can do anything. But if you don't have any confidence in yourself, what's going to happen? It doesn't matter what God wants to do through you, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. They'll just stay in here, festering. You know, if the Holy Spirit and you agree, if two or more are gathered, so be it. It's done. So God agrees. God placed them there. So obviously He knows you can do it. So we need to get in line with Him and agree. It's done, isn't it? That's a done deal right there. You know, it can be difficult because when no one's around to encourage you or no one else is around to see that you have a plan or you have a dream or you have a vision, it can be a very lonely place because no one else can believe in you or no one else can see it. But you know what? That's when you have to pull in on God and say, God, I know that you gave me this dream. I know that you gave me this vision. And it doesn't matter what's going on around me. It's there for a reason. And so I'm believing you and I'm hanging on to you and I know that if I work with you and I do what you say, that these things are going to happen. I just want to share, like, when Les and I got married, you know, sort of, and at different times, you know, I obviously knew he could preach and was a wonderful preacher because he was a preacher when I met him. And then as ministry started to sort of take off, I had been ministering too before I married Les, and was seeing a lot of God was using me in my own right in a lot of ways where I was. I was placed in the same church as Les. And then we got married and so forth. And he would then he started to get preaching appointments, and we moved into another church, and he was preaching. And God was really bringing him up, and he was preaching more and more. And people were getting absolutely blessed. As they do, amen? I think we're very blessed how God uses my husband. He's an amazing preacher. But at the time, I found it really, really difficult. I used to get really frustrated because I was invisible. I was just invisible. Like you've heard of Batman and Robin, I was Robin. I was not even Robin. I was just there. And people would come up and talk to him and make a really encourage him. And I wasn't jealous of that. It wasn't a jealous thing. But what it was is I have something inside of me that I know God wants to use. And it was like I just wasn't there. And people would come up to him and say, oh, this, can you come here? Can you? Oh, you can come. Okay, thanks. Go drag along behind him. And it was really difficult. I found those times really, really frustrating. They were hard. And it was really lonely. It was a lonely place because I never got encouraged. Everybody would be coming on and slapping him on the back and giving him a word, and he would be getting all these prophetic messages and being called out to the front. And I was just there. I was just sitting there. Nothing would happen. I used to get really cross and really angry because I knew I had seeds inside of me. But it was such a lonely place for me at that time. And God would say to me, I've put them there. You just got to do as I say. You just need to wait. There's things you have to learn. There's things I want to do. But it was so difficult at that time. I found it really, really difficult. And then slowly but surely, I was given preaching opportunities as well. And so when I got up, I would try and teach. That was a mistake. I can't teach. I'm not a teacher. And so God couldn't use, he would still bless what I did. But I was never satisfied because I know within myself I wasn't developing my potential. I wasn't developing my seeds of greatness. I was trying to develop his inside of me. And it wasn't never going to work because they weren't my seeds. They were lesser seeds. I can't teach. I'm not a teacher. And so it was a real refining time for me. Over the next few years, they were difficult times, they were hard times, but God used those times to refine me and teach me a lot more about who I was and what and how I was to share. And he would always say to me, he would say, Joy, you're not a teacher, but what you have is unique, and you have a unique way of sharing that will set people free. And so those were my seeds of greatness that I started to work with God. And started to share in my own right, in my own way. And that's what works. Have I arrived? No. But I'm still a work in progress. Those seeds are still being developed. We all have seeds of greatness. You don't have others. Don't try and take others. Develop the ones that God has placed in you. Each of you have unique seeds of greatness. Do I hear an amen? Amen? In the dictionary, potential is defined as existing in possibility but not in actuality. It's powerful but not in use. Possible but not positively. Potential cannot manifest without form. I'll say that again. Potential cannot manifest without form. I believe a lot of people are unhappy and frustrated because there's no form in their potential. They're not doing anything. They're frustrated because they've got all this potential inside, but it's not being developed. They're not doing anything. You know, you don't have to wait until the fulfillment of your ministry to develop your seeds. You put your hand to something. Go and do something. Go and help someone with something. Help build another person's ministry. Put your hand to something. Because they're the things that God will often use to develop what needs to be developed in you. Amen? So many of the body of Christ are sitting around doing nothing, being depressed and whinging and complaining. You can be sure when you hear that or see people dragging their feet, they're not doing anything and they're frustrated with their life. You're never going to start at the finish line. You have to start at the starting block with everybody else. There's a start. You're not going to start at A and blink and arrive at Z. Doesn't work that way. And you can't shortcut. You may be able to shortcut the world, but you're never going to make a shortcut in God. There is always a starting point. You will never start at the finish line. You have to give your potential, your seeds, the seeds to form and take root and to develop and spring. You never know what you're capable of until you get out and do something. Give it a shot. You know what? And give it a shot without dragging your feet. You know, you see a lot of people that want to help or will help and they're dragging their feet or they're whinging because it's not what they want to do. It's not what they're called to do. And so they make it very obvious in their body language and complaining. That will not develop your seeds. You might as well sit in your chair and do absolutely nothing. But you know what? You'll keep going around the same mountain until you can do it just because it needs to be done, and you can do it with a cheerful heart because it needs to be done. And then that's building character. That's helping those seeds develop that need to be developed in you. Do I hear an amen? So many people won't do anything because they're so afraid of failing. So they think that if they just stay in their safe zone, they'll avoid failing. If I just stay here, if I don't do that, I don't do anything, then I don't risk failing. Well, you fail right there. That's a fail. Because when you stop trying, you fail. That's the only time failure is failing, is when you stop trying or you don't do anything. So the very thing that you're afraid of doing, by not doing anything, you're doing what you don't want to do. Fail. Get out and have a shot. You know, when you do that, once you get out and start having a go, you'll start finding out really quickly where your gifts are. You'll start finding out, are they your seeds that need to be developed? I can remember years and years ago when we were at Garden City Christian Church, they were really short on children's church workers. And so Les and I put our hand up to go help. And I think we put ourselves down, was it 6 months or 12 months? 6 months? Oh, they were the longest 6 months I'd ever done. That was not our calling to do children's church. I struggled. I just wanted to get them and hang them by the rafters or lock them in the toilets. Anything. But I did it with a cheerful heart, but it wasn't my core. I wasn't what you call really successful. I mean, I didn't hurt anybody. Les used to have to hold my hands behind my back. That was all right. Yeah. But we did it with a cheerful heart, and we did it to the best of our ability because we were sowing into someone else's need. They needed help, and we had two hands. We had a willing heart, and so we did it. But I found out real quickly that that wasn't my call. wasn't Les's either, was it? But we made up our 6 months, we did our 6 months, and it developed our character within us and taught us certain things. You know what? And it was really good because we know that it blessed others. Do you know, it's so rewarding when you know you do something and you may be a fish out of water, but it blesses someone else. Are you doing something to bless someone else? Or is it all about you? Are your seeds of greatness just stagnating and being dormant? You all have so many things, so many seeds of greatness within you. And they're just laying there. Develop. Let God work with you. Develop them. So you'll find out by going and putting your hand to something, you're going to find out more about your call, more about your gifts by going and doing something else. And sometimes you won't be successful. And you know what? That's okay. Because we shouldn't be viewing it like the world does. Well, look at you, you dropkick. Didn't do much there, did you? You know, that's not what the church should be all about. Doesn't matter if that's you weren't successful or it's not your call. Because there are seeds inside of you that God is developing that is your call. Amen? You know, a lot of you know some of my background, and I just want to share a little bit. And obviously you all know I was adopted at a very young age, and by the time I was 16, I had two mental breakdowns and been sexually abused, and I became a mother before I was 16. By the age of 21, I'd experienced domestic violence, I'd experienced the death of a child, and I'd had four children. So, 21 wasn't real good. But eventually I ended up divorced. And you know, through all those years up until then, and even after then, it had left me really messed up. It had left me very angry, and it had left me a very broken human being. And that's just a really rough outline. You know, I don't need to fill in all the messy bits, but, you know, I wasn't a whole person by any shape or form anymore and hadn't been for a lot of years. And, you know, when I came to God, I had many victories in my life since my conversion. I saw some amazing things happen to me. You know what? But it didn't come easy. So many changes in me, so many things that make me who I am now have been a developing, has been a work in progress, has been developing seeds of greatness that God placed in me. Because He placed inside of me a dream and a vision. But for that dream and vision to come true, I had to have these seeds of greatness developed within me. I shared that to bring out that if God can do anything with a broken person, with a crushed person, doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how broken you are. It doesn't matter how angry you are. It doesn't matter where your mind is. God can change everything if you let Him. If He can do it for me, He can do it for anyone. What does He need? He needs someone who's willing to have those seeds developed. Amen? In the natural, you may seem doomed for anything, but He can turn all that pain into victory. He can turn it into victory so that you can go and help somebody else do the same thing. And I know that's part of my call, is to let people know that I stand here today to be able to help and share what God's done in my life by allowing Him to develop my character, my potential, and to work with me, and I want to work with Him. You know, what you have inside of you, it's great. It's absolutely great. But it's not going to do you any good if you don't let it out. How are you going to help people if it's just locked inside? I need what you've got. The rest of the community needs what you've got. We need it. We need what you've got. We need. But if you're not willing to allow what you have be developed, it's just dormant. How is it going to help anyone? God puts gifts in us for one another to be developed and used to be a blessing for others, so each of us can go and make a difference in the world today. There is someone out there who needs to have what you have. Ecclesiastes 5:3, and that says, a dream comes to pass with much busyness and painful effort. You know, we have a society of people who have plenty of wishbone but no backbone. Now that's harsh, but it's true. Wishing won't do it for you. You're not going to get anything by wishing and hoping. How's that song go? You've got to have some backbone. You've got to have some tenacity. You've got to have some fight to change. You've got to have an attitude of not settling. You've got to have... You know, the biggest attitude you've got to change is me, the I syndrome. It's all about me. It's all about what I need to do. While you're in there, you're going to go around the mountain. Lots of people are good at dreaming, good at having a vision, seeing themselves, but they're not good at the painful effort. And that's true. It's going to take painful effort to develop the seeds that were of greatness that are within you. If you have a dream and it's a big dream and you know that God's placed it in there, it's not just going to be a Dorothy where you click your heels and it's going to manifest. It's going to take painful effort. And it's going to take painful effort of you doing a whole lot of other things before that dream comes to pass. What comes between seeds of greatness and a manifestation of the greatness? What is it going to take to develop into that manifestation? Does anybody know? No? Yes. You read my notes. One, it's going to take time. Two, it's going to take determination. You know what? I can't get determined for you. Only you can get determined for you. Only I can get determined for me. If you're not determined, then mate, that's not something God's going to just drop on you and something miraculous is going to happen. You have to make a decision to get determined. And the third one is one that we all love to hear. And it's hard work. It's hard work. The things that have happened to me and the changes that happened to me haven't come easily. They didn't just fall on my head. It took time. It took hard work and a lot of determination. I can remember that when I was born again, I was still a smoker. I was a heavy smoker. I didn't drink, but I was a heavy smoker. And I still continued to smoke for a lot of years after I was born again. And, you know, to just give you an idea, like, I was really, everything, you know, revolved around smoking. If I was angry, I smoked. If I was happy, I smoked. If I was sad, I smoked. If I was excited, I smoked. If I was tired, I smoked. When I got born again, I was happy, so I smoked. You know, I just smoked. And, you know, it took a couple of years when God started talking to me about smoking, and it was when God talked to me, not when people were telling me, to start to give up smoking. Probably took me over a period of time of 2 years. Yeah. And I'd make this decision. That's it. I'm done. No more smoking. No more cigarettes. I'm done with it. And I'd get my cigarettes and I would crush them all up and I'd put the packet and chuck it in the bin. And I'd walk inside and that's it. I'm done. I don't need that. You know, oh God, I'm so over this. go about my business. 3 hours later, I'm like, well, maybe it's not right time right now. And I'd run out to the bin and I would scavenge the bin and pulling out these little parts of cigarettes and sucking on them. A really good look. If police hadn't driven past, I'm sure they would have arrested me though I was a drugger. Because I'm like halfway in the bin pulling them out. I was so godly. So then I'd do it again. Off I'd go. I had more smokes, and then after a week I'd say, right, we're ready, I'm doing it again. And so I thought, oh, I'll outsmart myself this time. So instead of crushing them all up and putting them in the bin, I'd put them under the tap and wet them all. Do you remember that? And I thought, that's going to fix me. I won't be able to get them then. Hair dryer. Shh. I'm trying. I'm laying them out. Shh. And I'm drying them off. And then I'm going. You know, it was a journey. Me too. It was a journey. We have a journey. You know, when we have to develop our seeds of greatness, it's a journey. And some of the things along it are difficult. But if you're determined, I was determined. I had tenacity. And it didn't matter, I don't know how many times, hundreds of times, that I did that, beat myself up because I felt like that I relapsed, and which I had. But you know what? I beat it. In God, I beat it. And I've been AA for, 15, 20 years now? Because I was determined. You have to get determined to have what God wants you to have, you see, and that's what I wanted. I didn't want any more of what I had. I wanted to have what God said I could have. And this was part of the journey of developing my seeds of greatness, was I had to kick this. So I was determined that I didn't care how many times I got knocked down and picked those cigarettes up, there would come a day when I wouldn't pick them up, and it came. It's going to take time. It's going to take determination, and it's going to take a lot of hard work. But the reward, oh, the reward, time. Time is another one that people don't like to give up, isn't it? Time. Because we want it now. You know, we live in a society where everything is for now. Let's have it now. If I have to wait till tomorrow, whoa, that's a big time to wait. A lot of us don't like waiting. Doing my car. A lot of us want instant stuff. We want it now. I want to tell you a story that I heard. And it was about a young person of about 20. And they had discovered a vein of gold in a mountain. And he was trying to dig it out, and he couldn't get it out, and he tried and tried for ages, and he couldn't. It was just pure vein of gold. So he went to the mining companies and sort of said, look, this is what I've found. I want to know how to get it out. So they came out with him, and they had a look at it, and as soon as they saw this vein, it was in this big mountain, they offered him cash right there and then to buy that. He could have had the cash. It would have been a nice amount of cash that he would have had to just not worry about it, and he could have probably been set for a while. But, you know, he wouldn't sell. He didn't sell. So what did he do? What he did was for a year he put as much as he could on hold, and he studied everything about mining. He studied and he went and did some courses on it, and he learned everything he needed to know about mining. And then he went and demolished that mountain that had much more than a vein of gold, because he took time. He could have settled for right here and now and put the cash in his pocket. but didn't do that. He went and spent a lot of his time to study how to get that vein of gold out and dig. And he had to dig and he had to bring people in, but he knew what he was doing. But it took a year of his time. Developing seeds will take you time. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you effort. Amen? A lot of society today, especially in young people, is they are too busy wanting to spend tomorrow's prosperity today. You know, we're giving, they want to go and have what they don't have and spend it before it comes in. And even adults are doing that as well. Because they don't want to take the time to develop what it may take to reach the goal that they want. They want it now. And they're going to reach their, you know, they'll do it later. And when later on comes, they haven't got it because they've already spent it. Very quiet in this Presbyterian church. Hard work. You know, what people define now as hard work. There's so many people complaining about having to work hard. Oh, I did the washing. Now I've got to go take it out of the washing machine. And now I've got to go hang it on the line. Oh my gosh. Oh no, and then when it dries, I'm going to have to bring it in. Oh God, help me. Now, of course, I'm dramatizing a bit. But really, am I? It's amazing. We all don't want to do anything. Everything has to be instant. We want to press buttons and everything happen. You know, we have to press the button of the washing machine. We have to press the button of the dryer. Oh, God forbid if we have to iron. That's a bit me. But anyway, it takes time. I want you to say after me, time, determination, hard work. It's going to take it. You're not just going to arrive at Z. And if you think you're going to find it any other way, you're deceived. Many of you know that I used to do a lot of swimming when I was young. I did a lot of competitive swimming. Took a lot of hard work, took a lot of determination, took a lot of time. You know, like I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I used to ride my bike and go swimming for a couple of hours and then I'd get on my bike and go to school. Then I'd go to school and then I'd come home. No, I wouldn't. Then I'd go straight to the pool, swim for 2 or 3 hours, then I'd go home. Then I would study for 2 hours and then I would go to bed. I did that 6 days a week, 5 days a week. My recreation was swimming on the weekend. I had to follow special diets. I had to do weights. It was a lot of self-discipline I had to do that. At times when it was in winter, we used to have to go into the city and use the city pool because it was a heated pool. And they used to load it up with chlorine, so much chlorine that it was crazy. And I used to have to get a tram home. And I can remember that I used to come out of the pool and I would have to cross Swanston Street. It was a main street in Melbourne. And I'd be waiting for the traffic lights. And I'm trying to look at them because my eyes were so bloodshot. Everything was just like I had Glad wrap over my face. And I'd be looking. And people thought I was on drugs because I would be going, is it green? Cars are stopped, yes. And then get over to the tram stop and then I'd be all these, it was a tram terminal, so there'd be lots of trams coming in and out, so I had to make sure that it was my tram and I'd be, is this my tram? And I'd be, had to go around to the front of the tram, I'd go. Yep. I'd come back and then they had steps, so I'd go. And like I was only like 14 or something and I just looked, I had my school uniform on and I looked really weird and then, because I couldn't see. And that's true, I couldn't see. I was one of these people, I couldn't wear goggles. So it used to give me a headache. And the goggles back then weren't really that good anyway. So I just used to have all these really bloodshot eyes. Then I used to have to go home and study, and I'd be looking at my work in front of me, and tears would just be streaming down my face because I couldn't see the work. I used to get exhausted. And there came a time where I used to live on a dairy, not out in the farm but in the city. And my dad used to work on the premises and my mum would go out to work. And in their room, they used to have this huge wardrobe and they used to have it on an angle. And some they would go to work. Dad used to go out like at 3 a.m. because he would deliver milk and mum had gone to work. So I was left to my own devices to get myself ready for school and so forth. So I would get my uniform on. I would get my pillow. I would get my radio. I would get my bowl of fruit. And I would go park myself behind the wardrobe and sleep because I was so tired. I used to wag school. And I'd sleep. And then I'd wake up and sneak out and go do my training. Till finally, of course, when you miss a few days of school over a period of time, school will contact your parents and won't go there. That wasn't a good time. But anyway, it takes hard work. You have to be determined. There's a lot of self-discipline and a lot of hard heartbreak and coming to terms with who you are and what you can do and your capabilities. There's so many things. It streams across the mind what you have to, the enemies that you have to beat within yourself to do something like that. A whole lot of enemies. You know, we see these people that I'll keep using swimming, stand on the blocks and you see them stand up there. And do you ever see when they play the Australian anthem how they cry? Do you see the tears? Everybody thinks that, you know, it's because of the Australian anthem. And you know what? It's not. It has a little bit to do with it. But the reason that they're crying is because they remember when they're on that podium what went into getting there. They remember, and it overwhelms them because it used to overwhelm me. You'd stand there and it'd be so satisfying to know that you represented your country and you were there and you had a gold medal. But you know what? When you're standing there, it's amazing that in 3 minutes of them playing the song, 4 or 5 years of what you did to get there can go through your head. It takes hard work. It takes determination. It takes a lot of time. But the reward at the end is very satisfying. You have seeds of greatness. You all have seeds of greatness. And it's different to the world because God has placed godly seeds of greatness inside of you. That's so different to having the world. Because when you work with God in developing your godly potential, your godly seeds, amazing things are going to happen that the world will never be able to do for you, ever. Ever. Don't kid yourself. There is so much wasted potential out there. Everyone is created to do something great. Every one of you. Every one of you. Every one of you is created to do something great. Amen. Benny, you're created to do something great. Jono. Yes. All of you, every person. Because when God, he put part of himself in there. Part of himself into each one of you. Roxy, come here. Micah, come here. Joel, come here. Pete, come here. I want you to stand in a line. Okay, he created you and he gave you all these spiritual gifts, came to you, created you, gave you all these spiritual gifts when you were born again, gave you all these spiritual gifts, gave you all these spiritual gifts. Then he came back to you and he went, Roxy, I'm planting in you some seeds of greatness. I'm going to plant part of me in you, my heart of worship. That's in you. Young Micah, what can I do with you? I know. I'm going to plant seeds of greatness. You're going to be a world changer when you preach. Part of me is that part of me. I'm sowing into you. Joel, this young man is going to be tall because he has great seeds. I'm putting part of me in there. I love drums, so I'm going to plant seeds of greatness for him to display that part of greatness. I'm also planting seeds of prophecy and understanding and knowledge that I have to be developed. Mr. Edwards, when God came to you, he goes, here is a man. I have so many ideas, but I can't trust too many people because they won't develop. I know, Pete will. I'm planting seeds of ideas, of prosperity, of the world standing and seeing me and him. Those seeds develop and become amazing man of prosperity and ideas because I know I can trust him to do that. Thank you all. That's what I see God doing. And when he saw me, he saw my mouth, he said, yep, you can talk. Okay, we should have big dreams, amen? Because we have a very big God. You know what? I would rather have a big dream and fulfill half of it than have a small dream and fulfill all of it. Because we have a big God. He should be giving you. You should have a big vision. You should have a big dream. Amen? He has put a part of himself in all of us. We often get ourselves into trouble because we're trying to do what others are doing instead of developing our own potential. You are all full of godly potential, godly seeds. You were meant for great things. And I hope today that I'm stirring up something in you. I didn't come from where I came by myself. I came because I was prepared to step out and be changed and take all the things that God had put inside of me. And have I reached them all? No. But do I intend to? You bet. I did not come into this world and go through what I went through for the devil to keep it. I came because I'm going to slap him in the face with every victory that I've had and every person that gets set free and moving God into their full potential. I'm tired. I'm not living in the past. I don't want to be there. Been there, done that. Don't want it. Don't want to have it. Refuse to have it. I don't want to drag that dead person around with me ever. Ever again. You know, it takes time. It takes determination. It takes to be able to allow God to work with you and stretch you and take you into areas that you've never been before and ones that you don't feel so comfortable in. I can remember that when I became born again and became a leader and Les wanted me to do things well. And he got me to come to leaders' meetings. And when I was there, I couldn't speak. He would want me to talk. He would want me to share. And he would say, and what do you think about this, Joy? And I would say, I don't know. What do you think, Les? And he says, but what do you think? And I said, I don't know. What do you think? I was so afraid. I was so scared of what people would think of me. I was so scared of being rejected. God said, you're going to be talking one day, so you better start doing this now. Now, unless anybody knew me and knew that was part of my past, I don't think anybody would think that I would ever have had the problem. Ask my family. Amen. I'll have to start wrapping it up. Are you getting something from this? Every one of you, not just a person sitting next to you, but every one of you has seeds of greatness. You know what? It's never too late. It's not too late. You're not too old and you're not too young. You're not a mistake. You are not meant to be just sitting on the back burner of life all your life. That's not your destiny. That's not the plan. Have a plan. Grow your seeds into form. Put your hand to something. Start developing it. Possibilities are not positivities. Possibilities are not positivities. We all love that scripture. With God, nothing is impossible. Do we not? Everything is possible. But do you know what? But without our cooperation and our willingness to develop what God has put inside us, through not giving up, through determination, through hard work, through day-to-day obedience in God, then it's always just going to be a possibility. It's never going to be a probability. It's never going to be a positively. It's a journey, folks. It's a journey. They don't happen overnight. So many Christians think that they're just going to get up and be who they believe God wants them to be, and there's not, because he wants to develop your character. Because when the time comes for that greatness, he wants to know that you'll be able to stand and represent him in a godly way, and to be able to achieve and give everything that you're meant to. You have to remember that the devil doesn't want you to go there. He's come to steal, kill and destroy. But you need to smack him in the face with that. I had to change everything about myself. I had to learn who I was in God. I had to learn to love myself. Love myself. I didn't even like myself. How was I ever going to love myself? I couldn't bear who I was. I hated who I was. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know why I was here. I had to silence those words that I would never amount to anything and that I was a failure. And I had to finally accept that I had a place in this world, because I never, there was not 1 minute between the years I can remember to the day that I became born again where I ever felt that I had a plan or a purpose or a place in this world, ever. And it used to make me angry because I just wanted to be dead. How do you come from that? How do you survive that? It's by wanting what God has placed inside you bigger than what any of that says to you, and knowing that he loves you and that he is faithful and that he is not of this world. Amen? There was so much junk that had to be removed, and it was painful and it was hard, and it didn't happen overnight. But I was determined to be and have everything that God said I could have and could be, and that I could rubbish that and smack it in the devil's face for the rest of my life and see others set free and move from despair to everlasting life on earth. I am a living proof that anyone can fulfill the call of God on their life if they want to. You know what? You may have had an unfair past, but you don't have to have an unfair future. You may have gotten off to a rough start in life, but you know what? It's not how you start that matters. It's how you finish that counts. You have to run the race to win. You have to be involved in the race. There is a gold mine in every one of us. But you know what? Sitting on your bum and wishing and hoping isn't going to do it. Trying to find shortcuts in the world isn't going to do it. By not getting involved with people around you is not going to do it. Allow God to develop those seeds, and it will be hard. But it's so worth it. Have I had fun along the way? I have had so much fun with all the hard work. I look back and I still laugh about giving up smoking. There were so many things that I've developed in that I can look back because I have been set free. There is nothing more rewarding than to know you're set free and that it has no control over you anymore. It's another one, another kick in the face to the devil. Let me encourage you. I hope I've encouraged you. I hope that I've lit that spark up again for you to reach inside and say, take me, God, show me. Show me. I want the best future that you want me to have. I want it and I'll do whatever it takes. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? He wants us to have fun along the way. I love fun. I love fun. We went away for a holiday. I'll finish up with this. We went away for a holiday to the Gold Coast with the boys and we had lots of fun, didn't we, boys? And they took me into this place called Infinity. Amen? Have you been to Infinity? Oh, it's all weird and it's got all different things in there and it's all dark and stuff. And then we came into this section and they had all lights and things going in these great big balls, huge balls. And they would throw them and you bounce. The whole floor moved. And I was in there and Travis was in there. Joel was in there. Mike and Les. And they're throwing balls and the floor's bouncing. And I'm going, because I wasn't hanging on too good. And all of a sudden, Travis got excited and threw the balls in my face like this. You know, I know how to have fun. We had fun. Joel had to save my life. Amen. God wants you to have fun. I hope this has blessed you this morning. If anybody needs prayer, on the serious side, you all have a gold mine. Let God develop it. You can do it with Him. Amen.
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.